There's news today that Uber Thailand is facing problems as the government there has begun a crackdown on the service for not meeting regulations. This comes as just a tick in the months of controversies the $70 billion ride-hailing company has faced, including allegations of sexual harassment as well as reports of a secret program used by Uber to avoid officials. Here to explain is our weekly guide to the world of tech, Recode. Johanna Buya is senior editor of transportation for Recode. She joins us. And Johanna, it feels like drip, drip, drip of problems for Uber. Do you see this as inevitable for a company that has expanded so quickly all around the world, having to deal with all these regulators? Or is Uber doing something wrong?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, Uber has long flouted local regulations, especially in its early days. And it's because there is this internal mantra where, you know, you basically have to win at all costs. And that comes from the top, which is the Uber CEO, Travis Kalanick. And that has sort of now extended to the internal culture. It affected things like their HR department, which handles issues like sexual harassment. And so if it's not mission critical, oftentimes the company doesn't feel like it's worth spending time or resources on it, you know, at least immediately. So we're seeing a lot of the culture, a lot of things happening as a direct result of the internal work culture.
And as you look at all of the high-profile problems that Uber is having right now, including those related to sexual harassment, also the lawsuit brought against Uber by Google's parent company, Alphabet, and that secret program reported by the New York Times of Uber essentially trying to get around local regulations of Uber, which one is the biggest problem for Uber right now?
I think the problem is the sort of the timing of all of this happening, because all of these are kind of separate issues. You know, the lawsuit that Waymo is bringing against Uber is against, you know, this practically brand new employee that Uber has, and they're alleging that that person, Anthony Lewandowski, who now heads all of Uber's self-driving efforts, basically stole the design of their laser-based radar, which is a crucial part of the self-driving system. And so that isn't necessarily a reflection of, you know, Uber structure. And then the gray ball issue, I mean, it isn't necessarily news that Uber has, you know, evaded local regulators and local regulations. You know, multiple reporters, myself included, have reported that what's news is that there is an actual program that their legal counsel and their number two, Ryan Graves, who's also the co-founder and on the board, approved that program. And so I think the larger issue here is that there needs to be, you know, a leadership change. There needs to be, and Travis Kalanick, the CEO, has also admitted himself that he needs leadership training, that he needs to grow up. And as the company nears IPO, that becomes more and more pressing.
Do you expect that he will have to leave the company?
I do not, for a lot of reasons. You know, he, for all of his faults, has made the company what it is. He also controls, you know, the board. He, Ryan Graves, his co-founder, is on the board. Garrett Camp, another co-founder, is on the board, and they're fairly loyal to Travis, as well as Arianne Huffington. You know, she is a new member of the board, but she is also kind of on his side at this point.
And have any of Uber's competitors, principally Lyft, but now there are many others popping up around the country, have they made any headway in trying to get people to delete Uber and go with them instead?
So I don't think that they're the ones who are asking people to delete Uber, and I think that's probably really important. Are they riding the wave? I'm sure they are. You know, Uber is as popular as it is for a reason, and that's because their marketplace is incredibly efficient. That's where the riders are, and that's where the drivers are. And if that continues, if there isn't really an effort on both the rider and driver side to completely stop using Uber, then any boost that Lyft, for example, sees will be temporary, because there won't be marketplace efficiency. And if a rider is waiting more than, you know, 3 or 4 minutes for a ride in places like New York and San Francisco, they're going to eventually go back to Uber.
That's Johanna Buya, senior editor of transportation for Recode. Johanna, thanks.
Thank you.